are delighted to have Gabe Penfield with us. We were able to have a communication with him earlier this year that he sent to us, and now we get to see him in person. And you can pinch him to see if he's real, but just go gentle. We don't want to hurt him. He grew up basically in Tacoma, Washington, and then his family moved to Virginia, and he attended Word of Life Bible Institute and Liberty University, and now he's attending Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's gotten involved with Friends of Israel, and is preparing various materials for them, and is involved in trying to outreach as much as possible in the Dallas area as well. So he's got a lot of things going on, and he's only 17 years old. I mean, he's a little bit older than that, 23, I think. So he's a little younger than some of us, but he's packed in a lot in those years. So glad to have Gabe come and share with us, and we'll turn you loose.
All right, this is the microphone, and I can just stand here, and if I go over here...
Yeah, we can give you that earpiece.
Yeah, this works, I'll stand. And you stand for Sunday school and the service? Wow, that's, okay, I don't know if I could do that, but... All right, let me share my screen. Before I started, I wanted to get to know some of you, so I wanted to get names, but let me put this up quickly. Present. There we go. Nope. Ooh, there it is. Sort of. Maybe. There we go. Good. I think. There we go. All right, perfect. Cool. Can I get... There's a good amount of people here, but can we just get names from everybody, and then I'll do my best to remember? Can we do that? Start up front? Yeah, can I get your name?
Denise,
okay. And you're from, how long have you been going to the church? We'll do that.
The second time? About 3 years.
Okay. So Denise in 3 years, okay. And
my wife, Marty.
Marty.
Marty Thomas.
And remind me your name?
Mike.
Trouble.
Mike.
This is the MK I was talking about. Got it. And how long have you guys been going to this church?
Since it started.
So who's, it's Richard, right?
No.
So who's been going longer to this church?
Nine kids.
Oh, did we get a prize?
we'll see. Maybe some, is there anybody else here that's been here longer? That's the question. Mike, and then it's Elaine.
Elaine.
Well, how long have we been going?
Almost 4 years.
4 years, okay. Cool. And you, when you say publications from Friends of Israel, which ones are you talking about?
I get Israel My Glory.
Okay,
and
good.
I also get some of the field reports from various workers.
Okay. And so Israel My Glory, do you like that magazine?
Yes.
Okay. So if you guys want that magazine, talk to Elaine, and I have some out there, so you can come grab some for free. Richard, you've been going here since 85, you said?
No.
88, cool. And so we'll move our way back.
I'm Melinda, and I've been going here for 6 years.
6 years. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then we'll move this way. You want U.S. Palmer. Navy?
Homer.
I didn't hear me.
Yeah, just, your name's Homer?
His name is Homer.
Homer, cool. Well, it's good meeting you.
Try the microphone.
Oh,
for him.
Yeah. There we go. As we move to the back, this might be more necessary. Homer, how long have you been going to church here?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years, okay.
He's a retired pastor.
Oh, cool. Pastoring here in Albuquerque, or?
Missionary pastor in the Northwest.
Northwest.
40 years.
Okay.
10 years in Washington, 4 years in Nevada.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well, good to meet you, Homer. We'll move. I haven't gotten your name. Yep, you.
Holly?
Holly?
I've been here like 11 years, I guess. My husband's back there.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
I know him. He's very helpful. Cool. Holly, and then?
James, and then I'll just go to my wife, Joyce. One of my kids, Kirsten, and 24 years, 25 years?
26.
But she actually has, for the total duration of her lifespan in the church, she's got them beat because it's 100%.
Oh. We'll get some kind of prize. We'll get some prize. Some prize. All right, people behind Homer. Okay, Ed and Carol. And how long have you been here? 13 years. Okay, okay. And we have Susan in the back. I know her. Jerry, right? Jerry, how long have you been here?
Somewhere between 15 and 20 years.
15, 20. Okay, and then Megan. And you said 2 years, and then Nathan in the back. Okay. So, and I'm Gabe. Good to meet you guys. I've been going here for one day. And I'm excited to be here. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to walk through a little bit of Friends of Israel, but also my ministry with them. And I think we'll talk about the why, the what, and the how of Jewish evangelism. Because we hear a lot about Gentile evangelism, right? And we know the gospel, right? The gospel is Jesus died on the cross, rose again for our sins. Whoever puts our trust in Jesus has eternal life. That's the gospel. And it's the same for Gentiles and Jewish people. It doesn't change the content of the gospel. But sometimes the method of how we deliver that changes. And so I wanted to kind of share a little bit of how that's different, how it changes from Gentile to Jewish people. And I know in Albuquerque, I was talking with Pastor David, and you guys have synagogues here. You have a Jewish community here. And so how do we, as the church, best reach those people? So, can I tilt this? Yeah. I'm a little shorter than you are. We're going to walk through that. We'll start with the why, and we'll start with why I am in Jewish ministry. So this will be a little bit of my testimony and how I got involved in Friends of Israel. Do you guys know a guy, you might know, a guy named Chris Katulka? Yeah. Chris Katulka, I met him when I interviewed him for a podcast. And I'm going to put that on the screen. There we go. This is a podcast me and my grandpa started in 2021, I think. So we're still doing it. And this is a guy named Chris Katulka we met in 2021 or 2022. And he's slowly taught me, sometimes dragged me kicking and screaming into Jewish ministry, but he's been a good role model for me. So this is 2021, but as Pastor David said, I grew up in Washington. I moved to Virginia when I was in middle school and attended youth group out in Virginia. And youth group was really good because we focused a lot on evangelism, right? So a lot of the focus was on getting out, sharing the gospel, training for that. And that was scary, going to a mall and talking with people. But I really appreciate my youth pastor. He's had a big impact on my life. After that, I did Liberty University online and also worked, and so I was able to kind of pay as I went, as I got my bachelor's degree, because when I was 6, I was saved at my grandpa's church in Washington. My grandpa's a pastor. And then when I was 14, I attended a camp down in North Carolina and felt the call to go into full-time ministry or missions. I didn't know what that looked like at the time. It was the first time I ever talked with a counselor. The next week at church, I actually walked to the aisle. We had an altar call. And I walked the aisle, talked with my pastor, which at that point, you're locked in. You can't go back. And so, at that point, I knew I wanted to go into ministry. I didn't know what that looked like. And so he gave me some great advice, my pastor. I asked, hey, what should I do? And he said, if you want to go into ministry, get a bachelor's in something not ministry related. So if you're going into a closed country, you can get in, or just, I got a business degree, and it's been pretty helpful being in ministry, just knowing how an operations statement works, how some of the business jargon and terms work. So that's been super helpful. But after that, I didn't quite know what, I was thinking DTS. I also heard Chafer Theological Seminary is a good seminary, so I didn't know what I wanted to do. But then a friend reached out, and he was like, Word of Life Bible Institute. I was like, what is Word of Life Bible Institute? So I looked into it, and I was like, you know what? It's a year. I'm going to do it. And that was awesome. But I'm going to throw some pictures on the screen before we get into Word of Life Bible Institute. Chris, the guy on the screen here, invited me to help manage this program called FOI Equip. Elaine, do you know FOI Equip? Yeah. So FOI Equip is classes on Jewish evangelism, Jewish ministry, and the Bible. And so you can kind of see here Dr. Andy Woods. Do you guys know Dr. Andy Woods? Yeah. He started last week teaching, and he's teaching two more weeks live. So you guys can sign up for that class for free. It's on Zoom. You tune in on Thursday night, 7:30, and you're able to listen to Dr. Andy Woods go through the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And he's a great teacher. We were put them online. You don't have to watch it live. We record them. In December, actually, we were going to have a guy named Dr. I can't remember his name. He's with Chosen People Ministries. No, he's with One for Israel. I can't remember his name. But he was going to do it. He dropped out, and so now I have to. Or I get to. I get to. I'm really excited. It really is a blessing. But I'm teaching on Isaiah 9:6 during the Christmas season. And then in January, we're having a guy named Zakovich teach on Hesed, which is the term for steadfast love in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And so we do live classes, we do recordings, we have all our classes there, and it's foiequip.org. You can see it up there, foiequip.org. And so I still do that. That's what Chris got me into to begin with, and that's a lot of what I do now is getting professors on to teach, making sure people get access to this material, and kind of growing this community. We're getting ready to open up a Facebook group where we can kind of talk and for those who are interested in this to have some like-minded people on the same page. And so that's foiequip.org. I have flyers out front. This is a few pictures of ministry since right around the time I went to Word of Life. So this was 2022. That first picture was I did a summer with a guy named Sam Fry.
This has a pointer.
Oh, cool. You have to turn it on. This button right here?
Yes.
There we go. Okay. Nice. Thank you. Look at that. That's helpful. It's not a weapon. This picture up here is actually me in New York City. And so for a summer of 2022, I was able to go on the streets of New York, Scranton, Philadelphia, and we did open-air evangelism. And so this picture is me in Flushing, Queens. This guy's translating from English to Chinese as I'm on the streets of New York, which is cool. And you can kind of see some people stopping, picking up information, and we talk with them about the gospel. It just popped out. Try that. So that was a really cool opportunity and taught me a lot. And so right after that, I went to Word of Life Bible Institute to learn God's Word. And this was a great opportunity because I learned what ministry looked like to everyone, but specifically to young adults and to youth. And so I was able to work at camps, and it really huge steps forward there. After that was 22 to 23. In 23 fall, I started an internship at my church back home. And there, this is me taking a group of our youth out to share the gospel. That's my brother there, and these are some of the youth. And so we went door to door sharing the gospel. And so at church, we were in between youth pastors, so I was able to kind of fill the role of a youth leader at the church. And so that was an internship, but I really enjoyed that. Great opportunity to teach middle school youth every week. So that was pretty cool. So that's 2023, 2024. 2024 summer, I went back to Word of Life and was the coordinator at Word of Life Island. And so Word of Life Island is actually a camp on an island up in Scroon Lake, New York. And so this camp's been around for 75 years. They just had their 75th anniversary. And youth come out, teenagers come out, they take a boat to the island, and it's a week of the gospel, discipleship, quiet time. And I was on the staff side, so what they do is really cool. They invite high schoolers to come and serve for the summer. And so high schoolers come, and they minister for a full summer, and they get intense discipleship training while they're there. And you get some really good kids. You get some kids where literally their choice is, do you want to go to juvie, or do you want to go to the island? And they're like, I want to go to the island. And so we got, yeah, it's a great experience. And so I was on the staff side, organizing the staff, organizing discipleship, teaching, that kind of thing. And it was, I wish I could do it again this summer, but I had other things with Friends of Israel I had to attend to. But that was summer of 2024. And then over this whole time, I've been attending DTS online and as of January in person down in Dallas. And so the same school that Pastor David went to. And that's been learning the Greek, learning the preaching. I'm going to give a sermon today that I started working on in December. I gave it for the first time. And since then, I've gone through two preaching classes, and I've changed it quite a bit, how I've organized it and what I'm presenting. And so that's actually a blessing. I got a scholarship earlier this year to go to DTS. And so that was a real unexpected blessing. And that's a guy named Dr. Mark Yarborough, who's the president of DTS. And all during this time, right, through these various things, the Lord was showing me a few things. First, he was showing me how biblical literacy is lowering, or biblical illiteracy is rising. People don't know the Bible anymore. People don't know the Bible anymore. And when they don't know the Bible, they don't know the importance of the Jewish people, right, to God's plan. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to quickly look at a few verses. You can look at Romans 10. You might be familiar with this passage. So if you don't know the Bible, and you're either young or old, you're not going to know Paul's closest desire to his heart. Right? Because in Romans 10:1, it says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." Who's the them here? It's Jewish people, right? It's Israel. Paul's greatest desire is that Israel be saved. Verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." And if you go to a synagogue in Albuquerque, you'll see that, where they love the Torah. They'll go to the front, they'll open up the ark, they call it the ark, and they'll pull out the Torah, they'll have a whole ceremony to pull it up and read from it. They love Torah, they love the Hebrew scriptures. But what does it say? But not according to knowledge. They don't know the full picture. Right? But Paul's greatest desire, this is after Jesus came, God still wanted Jewish people to come to know Jesus. And this is Paul, who was the missionary to the Gentiles. He still loved the Jewish people. And then if you go to Romans 11:1, you see something else. Paul says, "I ask then, has God rejected his people, the Jewish people?" And what does he say? "Certainly not." Certainly not. What else? Any other translations?
"By no means."
"By no means." Yep. It's pretty emphatic. No, for sure not. He has not rejected his people. And so if you don't understand Scripture, you're not going to know this, and what happens because of that is rising anti-Semitism across America, New York City. We've probably seen it here in Albuquerque. Maybe some of your friends talk about it. Right? Anti-Semitism is rising. A guy named Nick Fuentes, just become familiar with that name because he's going up on 6 million subscribers on Rumble, and he claims to be a Christian, but he hates Israel and hates the Jewish people. So turn to Psalm 83. If you go to Psalm 83, these are the verses that have come to mind the last few years on showing me the importance of Jewish evangelism, Jewish ministry. Psalm 83:1, we'll go a few verses. "O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people." Who's God's people? Israel. We're God's people as the church, yes, but here it's talking about Israel. "They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, 'Come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more.'" Does that sound familiar? Does it sound pretty familiar? Right, and you hear it from more and more people, right? From the river to the sea, May Palestine be free. What does that mean? It means no more Israel. So it's crazy that the Bible talks about this and it's still going on today. It's crazy that 80 years after the Holocaust, we still have people either denying the Holocaust or saying it's not that big of a deal and saying that we basically need to do the same thing over again. Right? I don't like talking about it, but we're forced to have this conversation again. And so these three things are kind of the reason I'm in Jewish ministry, and I think it's a reason a lot of us should be open to this, because it is a biblical thing, biblically based. I wanted to actually show, maybe I can play this. This is a video I was watching. I was on YouTube. I found a video on the Crusades that I was like, some good information here. And then from the same channel, this video pops up. And just watch. Let me see if I can actually play it. Watch.
Imagine a country where bombing
watch a few minutes of this.
Starving children.
Will the audio come through up there? Okay. I will. Maybe I can tell you what it says.
Imagine a country where bombing and starving children isn't just a tactic of war, it's celebrated as heroism. Imagine a country where the public protests for the right to rape prisoners of war. Imagine a country that uses a false victimhood narrative as a weapon to justify ethnic cleansing and genocide. Have you imagined that country? You're imagining the Jewish state of Israel. The word evil isn't a word that should be thrown around lightly. Evil is something unique. It's knowing that something is wrong, doing it anyway, and reveling in that. It's taking joy in the suffering of the innocent and defenseless. It's the deliberate destruction of what is good and beautiful. And in this video, I'll be showing why Israel is the most evil country on earth today.
So this is the word they use. They're not Hamas terrorists, they're Palestinian resistance fighters. They're not, and then they said Iran heroically responded to Israel's attack against them. And I'm like, part of it's like, how do we even respond to this when that's the lens you're looking through? But this is out there, and not just out there, it's growing prevalent. So just something to be aware of. There's a reason that we have people in Jewish ministry, and it's important. Biblical illiteracy, rising anti-Semitism. So if that's the case, what does Jewish evangelism look like? Any questions so far? Any thoughts? God's in control. Yeah. We just had somebody go to Italy with a Jewish group of unbelievers, and they saw a lot. They'd put like a pro-Israel sticker over a Palestinian sticker, and the next day it'd be like defaced, marked over. Yeah, it's some of the European countries are getting bad. As you said, God's in control. We can hope in Christ, hope in God. He knows what He's doing. Yeah. Yeah. Look at a guy named Dr. Michael Rodelnik.
Michael. Oh, yeah, which book? Yeah, it's this new book, right? It just came out. Okay, he just came out with a new one, similar along those lines. But he argues, and I agree with that. I had him for 5 days at DTS. He argues that the Old Testament is completely messianic. The whole Old Testament points to Christ. Not every verse in the Old Testament, but as a whole, it directs towards Christ. And so one of the better arguments is before a guy named Rashi, who's a rabbi from the Middle Ages, a lot of these passages, even Isaiah 53, was taken messianically. They believed it was talking about Messiah or coming Messiah, one Messiah. And then once Rashi comes in, he reinterprets a lot of these passages as referring to Israel as a whole, not specifically to Messiah. No, that's good. Yeah, keep studying. But another part of it is if they don't want to see, they don't want to see. And so that's where you pray that the Holy Spirit convicts, shows them that their way of thinking isn't correct, and that it just takes prayer. That's the key. And you build a relationship. That's what we're going to talk about in Jewish evangelism, is it takes a relationship typically. And this is both Gentile and Jewish, but especially with Jewish people, because if they were to come to Christ, they're converting in their eyes. They're told they're no longer Jewish. Their family disowns them. Like story after story, two things are always true. It always comes back to Isaiah 53. And the second is they always have friends or family that disowns them. Almost every time. And so it's really, really a difficult thing. So what I'm going to do is quickly walk through a bit of what Jewish ministry looks like. I went on a trip to Poland a couple years ago, 2024, through Friends of Israel. It's a bunch of young adults that went. And what we did was we went on the March of the Living. And so where's my pointer at? This guy named Wes. And what this is, it's 10,000 Jewish people from America, usually young people, 20s, early 30s, and they're marching at Auschwitz, which is one of the bigger concentration camps. And they march from Birkenau to Auschwitz, finish in Auschwitz, and then there's a big ceremony. And basically what it is them putting up a fist to the world saying what you did in the 30s and 40s didn't work. We're still here, right, across the world. And it's really powerful because we were the only evangelical Christian group marching with them. And so because we went on the bus and when we were there, we were able to talk with a lot of them. And they'd always ask, what are you doing here? Right? Why are you here? You're Christian. You call us Christ killers. Right? That's what their view of what Christians do. And we're here to tell them, no, our sin put Jesus on the cross, all of our sin. And we love you guys. And so it's a great... great thing. This was the Schindler's List soundtrack, or they played the main theme on violin. It was pretty powerful. That was an IDF soldier. So that's what Jewish ministry looks like. I'm going to talk a little bit later, but it's a lot about just presence, being there, right? Being with them, and then they see more and more. You wait, and then usually something happens, something in the world news, and they turn to their one Christian friend that they know supports them. This is us setting up. They have a camp in Poland. They have a camp where the Jewish families, unbelieving families, send their kids to this Christian camp for daycare. And so they get a chance, this group, it's called The Farm, The Farm. and they have a bunch of Jewish kids there where they get to teach the Bible. So this is in Poland, a little different than America where they can do this. But yeah, this is us there helping setting up some playground equipment. This is where a lot of the kids stay for the night. So it really is, it was a blessing to be able to serve there. Not only in Poland is there Jewish ministry, but also in Israel. Friends of Israel has people in Israel, several missionaries. They're serving, sharing. They don't call them missionaries there, right? Don't ever use the word missions or missionaries around Jewish people. We use the word workers for the Lord or representatives or something like that. Any missionary words, convert, never use the word convert. We're here to have a conversation, to talk with them. But in Israel, I went once on a sightseeing tour, 2023. And then in 2025, in June, we went to Israel with another Friends of Israel group. Again, young adults going and mainly volunteering, right? You see sites, but you're volunteering at a hospital there. And so what happens is we get there, June 11th, maybe a little bit earlier. The next day, Israel bombs Iran and the nuclear sites there. And so we get this news that, hey, Israel strikes Iran. And we're like, oh, maybe this will pass. And like the next day, the Tel Aviv airport closes down. They can't have people out of here. And very soon, this is what we're seeing overhead. Can you guys see that all right? A little too well.
This is a little worse than last night.
This is much closer.
Where'd that one go?
I have no idea.
We probably should get
it. It's just
not good.
There's a bunch of spots.
What are those blue spots?
I feel like they're like lights from something that would like shoot them down to see better, maybe.
That's crazy. Look at all those.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get inside.
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah, I saw that one earlier.
And that's when we moved inside. So this is the level of response. Israel attacks nuclear sites, right? Science sites, because they're developing a nuclear missile. And what Iran does is they send back missiles at Tel Aviv, the city. And so we had a missile. The night after we left Tel Aviv, a missile landed about a mile from where we were staying and completely wiped out them all. And so we felt mostly safe. We were in a bunker anytime the alarms went off. But we saw this pretty much every night overhead. And so FY did a good job keeping us safe away from harm. We were still able to volunteer 3 days. We were supposed to volunteer 8 days. We volunteered 3 days, which was still a blessing. Because again, they asked the question, what are you doing here in a war? Why are you here? And we're able to talk with them and share with them. And let's see what I have here. Oh, there you go. This is us volunteering at the hospital. That's our team. Two of them, we had two girls that felt safer staying back because at the hospital, like twice a day, we'd have to go down to their bomb shelter. And so this is a door we painted. We're pretty proud of this door. and this is the guy I was painting with. While we were there, We met a few guys. This guy is a guy named Ronan. Spoke Hebrew, didn't speak English. So we'd go back and forth on our phone trying to translate. And a couple months ago, there's flooding in Texas. Do you remember that? A couple days after it happens, I get a message from him on Facebook saying, "Hey, Gabe, I heard there's flooding in Texas. Are you safe? Are you okay?" And he said, the country of Texas. I'm like, "Yes, I'm fine. Thanks for checking in." big enough. I mean, because Israel's about the size, population-wise, of the DFW area. Dallas-Fort Worth. And so Texas, for them, is just like, blows their mind. It's a country. But, yeah, we're able to go. And these are relationships that FOI has had with these people for a long time. Like, this is somebody who's super familiar, Friends of Israel. We have our logo on things. Where that's the crazy thing is we have our logo, which isn't just Friends of Israel. It's Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And so in the middle of an Israeli Jewish hospital, you have Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And so we hope that when people pass, they look up what is the gospel. And maybe they get the gospel. And so we have a good relationship with this hospital, and we send people twice a year to volunteer there. And so, that's the hospital. Also, while we were there, I was able to go with Nathan. He's a mission representative in Los Angeles. But this is a family he knew in L.A. that made Aliyah to Israel. And so we were there on a rooftop in, I can't remember, maybe Haifa, having snacks with them and being able to talk with them. And this is us in a bomb shelter in a mall. This is typically what they look like. They wouldn't be able to survive a direct hit, but they're mainly there for shrapnel, for impact, just in case something hits nearby. I keep disconnecting. Yeah, so that's a little bit about our Israeli ministry. And again, it's presence. You're there. You're building relationships with you. They ask about Jesus. They ask about Yeshua. They ask why you're there, and you're able to talk about, here is why we're here. We believe that Jesus loves you. Yeshua loves you. He was Jewish, right? And
is
still, yeah, not was. He is Jewish, yep, to this day, and he will be Jewish. And I had somebody said recently, and I liked it, he said, someday every knee is going to bow to a Jewish man. And when you think about it that way, anti-Semitism doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then finally, in Texas, I do ministry, Jewish ministry. We have, this is a woman I met at the Holocaust Center there. They have a really good place to walk through, and she was given her testimony, her survivor story. This is another Holocaust survivor. These are friends from DTS. And so part of the ministry there is I help lead a student group, Our Jewish Friends, where we teach and go out. We bring groups out to, this is SMU, which is Southern Methodist University, but they have a really good Hillel group or Jewish student group there. And so our goal with Our Jewish Friends is to get DTS students who are developing, who are going to be future leaders, give them a greater appreciation of Jewish people in Israel so that when they enter the pastorate, they know what that looks like. What does it look like to love the Jewish people in ministry? And so that's that. I get to work with churches there. So this is it's a great, awesome church in Grand Prairie. And they have a radio station, and they've invited me on twice, once after I went to Israel. And it's a fun time talking about, just talking with them. They love Israel. They love the Jewish people. They care about Jewish ministry. So I work with churches in Dallas. And then once a year, I go back to Word of Life and lead an evangelism group to New York City. And so all of first year Word of Life goes to New York City, divvy up into groups. And so for 2 days, there's groups across New York City with boards that say, Jesus loves you. And you have gospel conversations with people, right? You share the gospel and you ask them, hey, is there anything holding you back from accepting Christ as your Savior? And the funny thing is, anytime we do stuff like this, Jewish people always come up and talk to me. Or they always come up and talk to somebody in my group. And so it's like, another example is I go to a gym, and it's Planet Fitness, right? The best of the best gyms. But somebody comes in with a big Star of David tattooed on his arm. And I'm like, you know what? I need to talk to this guy. He comes up and talks to me. And it's just, yeah, if you pray for people to come and talk to you, Jewish people, they'll come and find you. You go search, but oftentimes the Lord brings them to you. And the big one I wanted to highlight, this is a worship night and board game night we do every Thursday at DTS. And the crazy thing is this guy right here, Zach. He's a friend that I met at Chabad, which is a Jewish young professional group in Dallas. This is a guy I meet there, and we slowly become friends. I take him out to coffee, and we have a good conversation. He's an unbeliever, he's an atheist, and he's a nihilist. This guy's a smart guy, he thinks a lot, but basically he tells me there is no meaning in life. Any meaning we make for ourselves. He comes to like a lot of DTS events now. He'll go to our Jewish events, he'll go to our worship nights. He's there in worship night singing All Creatures of Our God and King. How does that? What's that song called? Mm-hmm. He's here. He's like, we were like, Zach, do you have a recommendation for worship night? He's like, yeah, I heard this song before. Why don't we sing this song? Fine. We'll sing this song. He'll come to like Watermark Church, which is a big church, and he'll sit with me and we'll study together, listening to worship music in the background. Like, and I ask him, why do you come to these DTS events? Why are you on campus? And he tells me it's because DTS students are so nice. They're so kind. And he's not used to that. And so it's been a real blessing. One of the things where, like, I met him, but he's just kind of felt at home. It hasn't even been a whole lot of effort on my part. But simply being present at Chabad Group, which a few months after, 6 months after going, they tell me not to come back. Right? They say it nicely. I think it was in the works for a while, which it was a setback and a disappointment. But from it, I meet Zach. And so even with the setbacks, there's steps forward. And so be praying for Zach. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. I've talked to him about, like, marriage. And his view on marriage is that if you get married and grow apart, maybe you'll just have to get divorced. And then you just hope that you find somebody that you can be with your whole life. I'm like, that's what the world thinks. That's not what we as Christians think. And I'm like, if you have even an ounce open for maybe we could get divorced, I told him, you're probably going to end up divorced. Like, that's just how it is. And so, yeah, be praying for Zach that he comes to know Yeshua as a Savior, Jesus as a Savior. And so we'll finish with the how of Jewish evangelism. We've looked at the why. We've looked at the what. What does it look like in Poland and Israel in Dallas? And now we're going to look at the how of Jewish evangelism. How do we do it? And how do you do it here in Albuquerque? Right, so keep that open. This isn't just something that's out there. This can be right here. And remember Romans 10:1. Paul's greatest desire was for Jewish people to come to Christ. And so just remember that. So the first thing you can do and we can do is be prepared and pray. Right? Be prepared and pray. Know the Jerusalem road. You know the Romans road to share the gospel. Know the Jerusalem road. How do you share the gospel from the Old Testament? And it's quite clear. You could obviously walk them through Isaiah 53, but there's plenty of verses that talk about substitutionary atonement. Big word, but Jesus died in the place of us for our sins. Ton in the Old Testament. And be praying. Psalm talks about praying for peace in Jerusalem. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Pray for the salvation of Jewish people in Albuquerque, in America, in Israel. Pray for protection for them. So the first step is just being prepared for God to bring you somebody. Pray, and pray that God would bring you somebody. Right? Bring you somebody to share the gospel with. And we'll go back on this. It's a ministry of presence. There are synagogues in Albuquerque. It takes calling and being, hey, do you mind? I'm a Christian trying to learn a bit about the Jewish community. Can I come and sit in on a service or a Torah study? And you're able to go and just meet people. Maybe you don't talk with anybody, but you're there to show support. Again, I talk about the difficulties of Jewish evangelism. There's a lot of obstacles for Jewish people to come and know Jesus. A lot of obstacles. They're told that Christians hate them. They're told that they have to convert from Judaism, from being Jewish. And even when you come to the church, it's really hard for a Jewish person to come into a church that's 99% Gentile. It's tough, right? So there's a lot of difficulties. So it takes time. It takes building a relationship. And finally, one thing that Friends of Israel does, and that's why I exist. That's what my passion is mobilizing churches to love and serve the Jewish community. Because Friends of Israel can't do it alone, right? We can't be everywhere, but churches can, and people who love the Jewish community can. And so, like Bridges, it's a free 9-week internship where you meet on Tuesday nights. You have a large group time with a guy named Bruce Scott, great teacher, and you meet for afterwards or before for an hour of small group time. And there's homework, and there's teaching about Jewish culture and customs, about how to share the gospel with a Jewish person, about the biblical support for it. And by the end of the 9 weeks, you learn, how do I go to a synagogue? How do I do Jewish ministry in wherever you're at in Albuquerque? And so that's Bridges. I have flyers on the table. If you go to foiequip.org, I'll put it at the end. All of this is at foiequip.org. Encounter is a short-term missions trip to Brooklyn, New York, and Philly. You get to go to Crown Heights, which is the Jewish community in Brooklyn. You get to meet a pretty big, at least when I was there, you met a pretty big YouTube rabbi who had some interesting views on Genesis, to say the least. But you get to go, you serve, you see, you eat, you go to Cat's Deli, which is pretty good, put it that way. You order like it was a Reuben, and I got it with pastrami instead of corn. What's a Reuben? Is it corned beef usually? You get pastrami, and it's like literally this big. Like, it's gigantic. And it's fantastic. So that's to Brooklyn. That's Encounter. And that's, we subsidize this, so it's pretty cheap to go. You get housing, you get food, and I think it's only $500. If you're a pastor, it's $300. And so it's a pretty good opportunity to go see the Jewish community in America, right here. And then Origins and Hesed are our trips to Israel, and specifically our volunteer trips to Israel. So you're not just going to sightsee. We have those at Friends of Israel. These trips are about volunteering. You go, and you see the behind the scenes. Right? If you go on a sightseeing tour, you're going to see the beautiful screen, the tourist screen. But when you go on these trips, you see behind the scenes. You actually get to meet Jewish people. You actually get to have relationships, meet our missionaries there. And Origins, if you know a young person, depends on how you define young, but usually people under 30, that's Origins, right? Our young adult. Hesed is all ages, right? And usually it's a bigger trip. That's actually our more popular trip, Hesed. Usually it's on a waiting list. But Hesed is in March, Origins is in June. And so Hesed, you stay at Yad HaShmoneh, which is a nice resort. Origins, I think we were staying more missionary style on like missionaries' floors, but I think we're moving that a little bit. But Origins and Hesed, if you're interested in Israel and volunteering, Hesed, I think we've had like 85-year-olds come. So like, if you love Israel and you want to serve, come join. It's a lot of fun. So how do you serve? Start with prep and prayer. You can serve right here in Albuquerque, and we have ways that you can learn and grow in how to reach the Jewish community, right? We have ways. And so as we finish, I think that's what I have. Do you guys have any questions on any of that? Questions for me? I'll be preaching in a little bit, but do you have any questions? Yeah, Nathan. Before I really got involved, I thought it would be easier to talk with people who knew the Bible, right? So I'd assume if they were in synagogue, familiar with the Bible, then I could just defeat them with facts and logic, right? The problem with religious Jewish people, Orthodox, Conservative, or Reform, is they read the prayer book more than they do Scripture. And so they're usually not very familiar with Scripture. And if they are, they've been pigeonholed into an interpretation that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And they'll always say, you always present to them, hey, look at this verse. What do you think about this? I need to talk to my rabbi. You're like, no, think about it for yourself. No, I need to talk to my rabbi. So in experience, like Zach's an atheist, he's more open because he's not being told, you can't do this. You can't think this way. You can't talk. He's more open to it. So from my experience, typically it's the non-religious who are more open, and which is the majority of Jewish people are going to be secular. I think it's like 60% are secular, even in Israel. And so that's typically from what I see from experience so far. Yeah. Any other questions?
Do you have a strategy for turning them away from some of the ceremony and the law or civil
day? Yeah. Are they friends? Are they just people you know? Like, how do you know them? And
mostly through the homeschool sports association.
Okay.
But they're a pretty big group. And we would call them friends. They're friends of ours, but there's so many of them that are just caught up in that you have to do feasts and you have to do the Sabbath and all these things. And I've often wondered what's the best approach to talking to them about that.
Yep. That's something that I've been thinking about recently because my roommate is Jewish, Messianic Jewish. And are your friends, are they Gentile or are they Jewish? Gentile. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's where you have to, like, if they are adding anything to salvation, that's wrong. We can't have that, right? So there's a movement coming. It's pretty big. It's called the Hebrew Roots Movement. And it's the idea that you must, either to get saved or to be in a right relationship with God, observe the feasts, keep Sabbath, keep Jewish tradition. Right? So that's the Hebrew roots. That's wrong. I think there are some Messianic congregations that if they are doing what they're doing, just as out of preference, that's okay. Like, if you want to keep Sabbath, but don't require it. If you want to celebrate Passover, you can do that, but it's not required for Christians to keep Passover or to keep Yom Kippur or the feasts. Like, if you want to do it out of raising awareness and you feel like it's helping your relationship with God, okay, do it. But the second you start requiring it or for salvation or your walk with Christ, that's when it gets a little too far. As for talking to them, I don't want to say I've had much luck or success. Just patience, ask them where they see that in Scripture, the importance of that. Galatians is a good one. Because it's not... Yeah, I mean, point them to the gospel. What's the gospel? And as a result of believing that, you kind of are forced to assume that most of the church in America is not in a good place. Right? So any church like this isn't good because they're not observing Jewish customs. And then you also got to ask them, how much of the Jewish customs is biblical and how much is just cultural or rabbinical? Right? Because if you really want to keep kosher today is very different than the biblical kosher. Keeping the Sabbath today is very different than the biblical keeping Sabbath. And so there's a lot of difference between rabbinical, which isn't biblical. Right? Biblical is different than rabbinical. So just a few, I don't know if that helps, but just some thoughts.
I was in Santa Fe and we ran into this lady at her little yarn shop and she's from Israel and she was wearing her And I brought up sacrifices and how you do sacrifices, you know, because that's, if you're going to keep the law, you have to do sacrifices. And so she said that she believes the things that moms do for their children are sacrifices. And that works. And I said, well, no. And I was assuming that these other ladies were on the same page and just explained how to do what's like, whatever. But the other lady was like,
yeah, that's a very Jewish way of thinking, though. It's called a mitzvah, and so their idea is that mitzvah, which is good works, make up for the missing sacrifices, and that was developed in exile in Babylon, which is how synagogues rose up. And so their idea is we can't give blood sacrifices, so what are some other ways we can atone for sin? Well, your mitzvah that you do atones for your sin, which leads to a work-based salvation. Yeah, so that's a very Jewish way of thinking, at least today. So just keep that in mind. Yeah, we'll take one more. Is that fine? Yeah, one more. Yep. That's our prayer. That's good. All right. Well, it's 10:15, 10:16, and I'll pray to close. Cool. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you just thankful for your word and how good you are. I saw a sign out front that said, God is good. And that's true, Lord. And he's good when we face anti-Semitism. He's good when we face persecution. And you are good when we need you, Lord. And so I pray that we would take some of what we've heard here today and just consider what are some ways we can bless the Jewish people in Albuquerque, across this country, Lord. And we're so thankful for being able to gather as the church, for having a body like this, having good leadership in this church. And God, I pray that as we worship today, and as we open up your word in the service, that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us. God, we love you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.